The third annual Rose Exposed returns to the Rose Wagner on August 23rd, featuring works created that day with proceeds going to the Road Home. Visit arttix.org or call 801-355-ARTS.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, UT. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest indie publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we're getting high as hell with the people from Avian Allure and the Utah Flying Trapeze. The Utah Flying Trapeze is a high-flying wrist performance company based right here in Salt Lake City. It was founded by a group of friends who pooled their combined talents to teach some classes and give performances in various aerial arts. They've been doing live demonstrations all throughout the Twilight Concert Series at Pioneer Park this summer, giving spectators a chance to try out their own tricks on a safe level. Slug senior staff writer Isha B sat down with founder Bogart McAvoy to talk about the company.
Tell us what you do. What are you up to?
Well, my wife and two other couples and myself are all trapeze enthusiasts, and we've kind of been traveling around the country and around the world to do trapeze for the last several years, some of us even longer than that, and we just got tired of having to do that, so we banded our efforts together and got some professional trapeze artists and started a school.
Super cool. Yeah. So for those of us that may not know, describe what trapeze is just a little bit.
Well, it's pretty much what you would think as far as this is flying trapeze, which is what you do in the circus, or one of the activities that people do in the circus. So you actually have a person that's flying and then what we call the catcher. So you would go from whatever platform, do your trick, and then actually be caught by the catcher.
And there's this big swings that go around, right?
Exactly. Very exactly. Cool. And those are the trapeze. You have your fly trap and your catch trap.
As part of that collective, that group then, you guys do performances? You're able to still be hired out, or are you just focusing on the school now?
Primarily just the school.
Very cool.
It's pretty hard to move the rig. So, I mean, if people wanted to have an event and have a performance, they would pretty much need to come to Pioneer Park for that.
Pioneer Park is where you guys are doing the school?
That's right.
Cool. Yeah. When's that happening? How's that working?
It's working great. We have been open just over a month. And so on Saturdays during the farmer's market, we do $5 swings. So kind of, you know, just for people to get a little flavor of it. But then primarily what we focus on is a two-hour class. We offer those right now 5 days a week. But once the Twilight Concert Series is over, we'll go back to 6 days a week. Two-hour class, you learn one, sometimes two, or even a third trick, and then that last half hour we do a catch.
That is so cool. Yeah. So I'm way tempted, but then in the back of my head, my little risk-averse personality is wondering, is it dangerous? These are people that are just coming in that don't have any other training, huh?
Right. You know, it's sort of evolved over the last 20 or 30 years to where it's not just for people who do circus. So it is actually really safe. There's a similar kind of device as you'd have like in rock climbing. Everyone that's a beginner, and actually all the way up to pretty advanced, you wear a harness, and then that is attached. Actually, before you even go up, you're attached to something that helps you not fall off the ladder, or were you to fall off the ladder, it would catch you.
Sure.
And then once you get up there, you're attached to safety lines or someone on the ground, and they always have control of those safety lines. So whenever you're doing your tricks, they would control you. So interestingly, I always thought it was to keep you from falling off the net. It's actually very hard to fall off the net. It's more to prevent you from falling into the net incorrectly and hurting yourself that way. So it's really safe. We like to say it's safer than ping pong.
Yeah, it seems safe. Even safer than, I have a lot of buddies who are doing the pole performing, even aerial arts and things like that, and when I watch them, they do those drops, and they're very exciting to watch, but I'm just always just cringing just a little bit, hoping that they've made their plan correctly, you know,
exactly,
for their landing, so
yeah.
That's cool to know that there is a little bit of a safety precaution, so that a beginner like me could feel pretty confident
Absolutely.
Coming to try it out.
Absolutely.
So what do you love best about it? What do people say that they love most about it?
Many people, they really like that feeling of flying. I think for me personally, I like that it's such a physical as well as a mental challenge. You know, I think we're all bombarded with so much in life that really, it's only a few seconds, but during those seconds, you're thinking about nothing else. And so I think it's nice to get away and get out of yourself just for that minute. And then because it is something that you really can pursue pretty much lifelong, there really is no limit to how good you can get and how far you can take it. So that's pretty exciting.
Way fun.
Yeah.
And you said that you had traveled quite a bit doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What kind of experiences did you have? Were you part of a larger collective group, a circle? circus or
anything like that? Oh, no, just as a student. So many other cities have schools very similar to ours. In fact, we really just modeled ours off of existing schools.
Awesome.
Kind of
a
way.
Yeah,
exactly. Of course, our pleasure. So mostly we would travel to go to different schools. And fortunately, we happen to have reason to travel to a lot of big cities, and many big cities have them. So we would sort of incorporate that into our other travel plans. A couple years ago, we found out that Club Med, which is like an all-inclusive resort, they offer trapeze. So then we became big fans of Club Med,
yeah.
And we've started going doing that. And that's, you know, similar, but, you know, because it's included in the resort experience, you kind of are there on vacation, then you get to fly a couple times a day. So that was actually really fun. And that's how we brought the guys who run the school for us. They both were employees at Club Med.
Very cool. Again,
yeah.
Lucky us. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Sneak them right out of
that's
there for
right,
us.
That's right.
So you said that you perform with your wife as well.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys do the pairing then? She's the catcher, you're the catcher, it doesn't matter?
Well, learning to catch is actually pretty involved, and I have never pursued that to this point. Well, and I think in large part because you need to be able to do it really consistently, and because typically, you know, the most we ever flew in a year was like 5 different times. And granted, we would fly a couple times during those trips, but it's just not long enough. You need to be able to fly pretty much every day to learn to catch.
Gotcha.
Particular, so
that's cool. It's cool to know all of these little things, and then
yeah.
when I go and because now I'm gonna have to go home and Google this
there
and read
go.
Up more about it. You
will find a lot. There's a shocking amount
all
out there.
All the information, and then I'm gonna have to come down to Pioneer Park and try it out because that's
definitely
right
are.
Up my alley. That's one of those fun things. So, are you there a certain time of the day? You're there right from the start?
Actually, so partly due to the weather and just because we did just get started, most days we only offer one class, and so we've been doing 6 to 8 p.m., which is kind of a nice time of day. We figure people are off work.
Yeah, that is
and that's
perfect.
Been working really well. But actually, we're excited to announce that we're going to be already starting offering additional classes. So starting next Monday, we'll have a 10 to noon class. Saturdays, of course, we have classes. We've been doing them in the afternoon, but I think we're going to move that to the evening, partly because of the heat as well. But as interest increases, we'll just keep adding classes. We've been really fortunate, actually, teaming up with the city has been a real boon to us because we've probably gotten a lot more press and notice than we may have on our own.
Sure.
They had a big press conference last week, and one of the deputies at the mayor's office came down, a lieutenant from the police department, because they kind of wanted us there to help bring a little bit more vitality and action to Pioneer Park.
So cool.
So it's been working great. We were a little hesitant, I'll be honest, to go into the park, but I can't say it's been bad at all. It's been really, really great, actually.
That is really cool.
I totally agree. It's been pretty inspiring, really, because they, you know, there was challenges, and they really, really went to bat for us.
Woo-hoo!
And really fought to get us down there and have been supportive, both, you know, with generosity with their space and actually buying classes. They have kind of like a stay healthy program within the city, and they buy classes for their employees, and then they come down. So that's been really cool.
Way cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we've got all these new classes coming up and everything like that, but anything else coming up within the next 6 months to a year, big goals, things like that? Hopefully you'll be part of the arts festival, stuff like that.
That would be pretty fun. Our biggest goal right now is to find an indoor location so we can operate year-round. We are, you know, pursuing, I actually have some meetings later today with some spaces, and we're just kind of cruising around the valley and looking for that. So I'm confident we'll find something. It's, you know.
I think so, because the aerial arts community has been growing so much here.
Right.
I know a lot of people who are doing that, and they have to have the high ceilings and all that.
Exactly.
And I mean, granted, you have to, you know, have special requirements, I'm sure, but we've got to be able to work it out.
I think so.
We want trapeze.
No, I think it's gonna happen. We actually, interestingly, just a guy who's a real estate agent approached us and just kind of started talking, so he's really kind of like hitting
this
the bricks
is good
for us.
Mojo.
Yeah.
I like
so.
The way this is working itself out.
Yeah, definitely.
Meant to be kind of thing.
It seems that way. We're pretty excited and talking to a lot of other owners in other cities. I mean, some people, it's taken them 2 years to find a location, so the fact that we were able to get this going this quickly and have this much success has been pretty amazing, actually.
For more information on the company, visit them online at utahtrapeze.com.
Join both Plan B and Pygmalion Theaters, Gina Backhauer, as well as RDT, Ryrie Woodbury, and SB Dance Companies for the 3rd annual Rose Exposed on August 23rd. All 6 companies will create and perform work that very day, celebrating the theme of home. 100% of this event's ticket sales will go to benefit the road home. For tickets, call 801-355-ARTS or visit arttix.org.
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on Tuesday, August 19th, running through August 25th. As always, I'm going to suggest you go to slugmag.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page there. You'll find that calendar. There's always great new listings being added. I went and found all kinds of goodies for this week for my own self. Starting right there on Tuesday the 19th, when Trampled by Turtles and Elephant Revival are joining up for a rootsy night of bluegrass, newgrass, little acoustic folky stuff. That's up at Deer Valley, which I might add, you can bring your own beer and booze and wine and whatnots and picnics. Good place to see a show. Wednesday the 20th, Ziggy Marley, reggae man extraordinaire, Son O'Bob, he's playing at the Depot. While down at Valor, a great show, Shelby Earl. Really wish that one was a little closer to Salt Lake for my own purposes, but a good excuse to get down to Provo and see a fine show at Valor. On Thursday the 21st, De La Soul, along with Rhapsody and Ninth Wonder at Twilight Concert Series. Big night of hip-hop. It'll be interesting to see if it has the same frenzied reaction that the Wu-Tang Clan did a few weeks ago. If a little more hard rock is your bag, Corrosion of Conformity, Old School Dudes, they're playing it in the venue that same night, Thursday the 21st. On Friday the 22nd, this is a must-see show for me. Dave and Phil Alvin, the men who started the Blasters oh so long ago, classic roots and punk band, they're joined back up. They made a new record together of blues covers. They're playing at the State Room, Dave and Phil Alvin. While up in Ogden, Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys, a fine Zydeco group, they're headlining at the Ogden Roots and Blues Festival in Liberty, Utah, just outside of O-Town. While back here at the Depot that same night, Friday the 22nd, the Presidents of the United States of America, back at it, back on the road, doing that poppy punky thing they do so well. On Saturday the 23rd, free show up at the Canyons, Dumpsta Funk. That's a New Orleans funk band, well worth your time, especially for a free gig. And then on Sunday the 24th, couple of fine shows. Strand of Oaks, a little beardy rock for you down at Kilby Court, while the English Beat, one of my personal faves, doing a little ska thing at the Urban Lounge. That is your weekly daily calendar. As always, go to slugmag.com. Go through those listings yourselves. Find all the goodness there is to offer up and down the Wasatch Front. You can add your own listings for free, and for a mere $5 a month, you can add some links to your own listings.
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
Hope Woodside, Channel 13. You've been on that station for 17 years? That's very unprecedented. You and Bob, you have worked with no other partner, is that correct?
Well, in Bob previous Evans? Jobs.
Well, but I mean here, not, yeah. Just
no,
Bob.
No.
Do you hate him yet?
What are you getting?
Download the Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
Avian Allure is a brand new aerial acrobatic performance duo comprised of Mandy Johnson and Andrea Hansen. You may have seen them a few weeks ago at the old Craft Lake City Festival. They originally formed in 2013, mixing theatrical and costume themes with belly dance, some hanging ring aerials, fire dance, and more to create a unique performance style. Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis sat down with Johnson and Hansen to talk about their partnership and the shows they've been putting on.
Tell me what your recent performances are.
We just performed at the Vava Voom show, and we've just been doing private events, and we worked Fantasy Con, all sorts
Comic-Con.
Of stuff. Comic-Con.
And if people aren't familiar, so you're aerial artists.
Yes.
Is that the official term, or how do you guys?
Aerialists,
okay.
And we mainly specialize in doing the lira, so we do doubles lira a lot, and Mandy solos a lot on the apparatus as well. We do silks.
So is the lira a hoop?
Yeah, the lira is the hoop is called.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, because it's completely intimidating even to watch. I fear for you. I know you're all harnessed in, and I know it's supposed to be totally safe, but tell me, you know, how long have you been doing this, and how did you find something like this?
We've been doing it together for almost 2 years. I think
it's been over 2 years.
So around 2 years, maybe a little over. Mandy had started before me.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 3.5 years now.
Nice. How did you find that? I mean, like, I know a lot of people do, like, anti-gravity yoga, or they start as gymnasts or something, and then it kind of spins into this. So what got you involved?
Well, Salt Lake just kind of opened up with a few extra aerial places, so it kind of just became popular with pole fitness and just all that stuff, and so it was kind of easier to find places to learn it. I had done it like 6 years ago. I had taken silks from a place and got really into it, and then had to quit because I wanted to do belly dance and stuff like that. But it just became more open to be able to take classes and learn, and Mandy got really awesome and took some private lessons and stuff, and it just is one of those things you kind of just fall in love with and you want to just keep doing it all the time.
Yeah, I do hair, so I had a client come in that was an instructor, and she was talking to me about it, and we ended up doing trade, and she was teaching me private lessons, and I just got addicted right off the bat and just sucked into it, and now
it's got to be a total rush. Now, I know this is nothing like it, but I was on the bungee trampoline last weekend.
Yes.
And doing backflips, and the first one I came out of it, I was like, I'm going to be nauseous. Like, it was intense, but it was also so exciting that I just kept doing them over and over again. So is that kind of it? I mean, it's like a rush.
It's definitely exciting. It's so much fun to just be up above the ground and doing tricks and doing flips, but it's also, I mean, sometimes it's a little scary. Sometimes it's really painful. Sometimes, especially doing doubles, it's really awkward. Like, you definitely have to be really comfortable with each other.
Awkward thinking they're going to drop you, or because, like, their butt's in your face.
Their butt's in your body. I mean, it's a lot of trust. It's both. There's certain moves that we do that it's just like, you know, you have to be able to trust that person that they're gonna hold you.
Yeah.
And then it's also, like a lot of like, here's my butt in your face and reach here and wrap around here and I'm just gonna slide down here. So yeah, it's definitely, you definitely form a connection and have to be pretty close with each other. So
nice. Now, what kind of exercising and cross training do you do? Because it seems like it's so intensive, especially on your upper body, to be holding each other like that and to be holding on to, you know, just, I look at that and think, oh, these ladies must do push-ups all day long in order to get that way.
Mandy
does push-ups, I guess. She is pretty fit. So.
The worst part is that got me cross-training is because I was developing shoulder problems. So from hanging, your shoulders really, even though they're a big part of your body, really can't handle most of the stuff that we're doing. So I go to the gym and cross train and build up the smaller parts in your shoulders and like your rotator cuffs and different things like that, your small ligaments. So I just go to the gym and work out and do small little baby shoulder exercises and try to like build up the other parts that are opposing. So I'm not overdoing it and overdeveloping muscles with aerial.
Yeah, you definitely have to take the time to build your strength aside as well as your endurance, because it's kind of a little bit of both. Like, you can be really strong, but if you don't have the endurance to make it all the way through, then it's just really tough. So
Well, and then with holding Andrea, I hold her a lot, and it's helped a lot to build up my core to be able to.
Oh yeah, you have to have mega core. Mandy has the best core ever.
Nice. So,
Megacore.
I was going to say, because of all that training, I mean, how many hours do you spend between training and practicing in order to do this kind of stuff?
I try to train every day, so I usually train for like an hour a day, and then plus aerial, so sometimes 2 hours a day. And then when we practice together, I don't know, sometimes it depends on if we're developing and choreographing and everything, because sometimes it could be hours.
Yeah, it definitely takes time. You have to, like, we both try to go to the gym every day, so just to keep up with it, and then it goes through phases for sure. If we have a performance coming up, we're definitely working a lot harder. And then sometimes it does take a lot of hours because you can really only run through it and stuff. You know, your endurance, you have to almost wait after each time and kind of like take
cool
the time
down,
to stretch and then get ready and then get ready to do it again. So
how long do the performances usually last?
Ours have been roughly between 6 to 8 minutes.
Very intense.
And we try to mix in a lot of dance,
I think,
and different things too.
Still 10 minutes.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I forget.
Slowly walk onto the stage.
Slowly and gracefully.
Slowly mount that. So, and we were just talking about the logistics of this. It's not like you can just go out and hook up a hoop or throw some silks up somewhere and just start going at it. Like, you have to be in very secure in how you're harnessed in wherever it is. So tell me just like, where do you practice and which places are a good place that you could feel comfortable in going and trying something like this out for the first time?
Well, I teach at Onyx Aerial Pole and Studio.
And where's that at?
In Sandy off 90th South.
Okay.
And so I go there. The higher the ceilings, the better.
Okay.
So, and we also train at Aerial Arts and try to take some more advanced classes to push ourselves. And we've also done training elsewhere. Like, I've gone to Australia and we went to California just a couple weeks ago.
Done the LA Cirque School and the San Francisco Cirque School as well.
Yeah. But yeah, you definitely want high ceilings, and then you want strong beams that are going to hold you, especially when we double, because it has to be our poundage. Plus, if we do any drops or big moves, they're going to up the weight of what it's bearing.
Do you guys have tech people that you travel with, or do you have to harness or like figure out all that stuff yourself?
Some venues have people that are there, which is awesome. That always helps out. But yeah, we know which equipment we need to be using, and as long as we know the beams are weight bearing, we're usually pretty good.
So yeah. If you ever decided to stop doing this, you could go work and like for like Oasis Stageworks or something. You could like totally go in and like
rig
staging.
Don't worry, we got this. Yeah. You're like, I know we've gotten pretty comfortable on really high ladders, which is nice. So
yeah, is that an issue? Being like, I'm not really a fan of heights. I can handle them sometimes, but I know a lot of people that's a major fear. Like, does that come into play when you're like dangling up there? Well, do you think about that?
Sometimes, but I'm not afraid of heights, so I actually love it. Like the higher, the better, because it's just really exciting. But you definitely do get that rush of like the fear of like, hi, I'm really high up right now.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely when you climb, especially because doing doubles, and especially in Salt Lake, there aren't a lot of venues and places where we can get the height that we need. So we actually do a lot of our tricks and combinations like on the top of the hoop, which is actually even higher. So we're trying to like get as high up as possible. And then sometimes when you do get that venue that has the really high ceilings, you're like, wow, I'm up here and this is awesome.
I think it's more intimidating if we haven't been at that height than as with each other trying new tricks or things that we're maybe still working on. You know,
so are you harnessed in when you're practicing then? Because I noticed when you're, I was going to say, that's the part that I think freaks me out the most watching you guys is just, I know that it's you wrapping your leg around a silk or you wrapping your leg and like trusting your legs and your arms to just do it, where a lot of performers are harnessed in, you know, and they've got different kind of pulley systems that will let them down slowly if something happens. And
yeah, with silks, I mean, you're not harnessed in. You're using the silk, you know, and wrapping yourself in it for certain moves and certain tricks. But it's the same thing. Like, you have to know what way you're wrapping yourself. You have to be really careful about the way you're tying yourself off because you just don't really know. And with
you're not
harnessed in at all. You're
like,
just up there.
Well, and if you wrap wrong, it can always go terribly wrong for different drops and everything. If you don't wrap correctly, then you can always come all the way out.
Have you fallen? Like any major spill?
We've fallen on the hoop, like in practice, but we always have mats underneath us, you know what I mean? And, you know, if you're a trained aerialist, you kind of should be trained on how to fall as well in certain situations. It's like
falling gracefully without breaking a bunch of stuff.
You will fall that way, but you kind of like in the back of your head know, you know what I mean? So there's definitely been moves that we've tried.
Add a roll to the fall? Is that how you fall? Like snowboarders just kind of tuck and roll?
Yeah, tuck and roll.
Yeah, you definitely don't like spread out and just like let everything go. So yeah,
you kind of try to do it as soft as you can, you know, and not just like stiffen everything, because that's when you usually will maybe break something. But
yeah, but we always have a crash pad underneath us.
Yeah, we definitely practice safely. Like, we definitely don't do any new moves or anything that's kind of sketchy without even having a spotter. Like, a lot of times when we, you know, have certain flip moves or something, like, we definitely have someone there watching us and spotting us, and we pad it up as much as we can.
Calling 911.
Have the phone ready.
Okay, we can call.
Yeah, we try to be pretty safe for the most part.
What do you head into mid-August? What starts this schedule out?
Usually around Halloween and stuff, a lot of things pick up for us, and we really like to be theatrical and stuff, so we'll probably be working on some new routines. We're trying to put together a traditional piece for the Lotus Festival that will be at the Buddhist Temple in October, and then as well as, I'm sure Halloween is our favorite, so I'm sure we'll do some sort of themed Halloween event with some crazy, we'll pick some crazy characters of some sort. And then, yeah, it all just depends. I feel like sometimes performances come all in a mash, and then sometimes they're really spread out. It's kind of hit or miss. So
sure.
Which is nice, though, because sometimes you get burned out and need a little break or inspiration to think of new ideas and work on new pieces, because we'll reuse some pieces.
And I like to make all the fancy costuming, so I usually want to do a new routine just so I can make us new outfits. I'm like, what are we going to do next? So I can make us something fancy.
That's great. You can put both of your loves together. Yes. That's wonderful. So if somebody wants to book you for an event, how would they get a hold of you? And then also, how would they just, as a fan, personally, as a fan, how would I follow you guys to find out when you'll be appearing next? We're working on getting a website together, but right now we're mainly on Instagram and Facebook. So it's just Avian Allure at Facebook pages.
That's AVIANALLURE.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And then we're on Instagram under Avian Allure as well. And we usually always post any, we do a lot of private events, but any public events we have, we always post the flyers and stuff on there. And then also our emails are on the Facebook page. So you can email us or message us on Facebook or anything like that as well.
To read more about Avian Allure, check them out in the August issue of Slug Magazine, anyplace cool, or on slugmag.com. And to get more info or to hire the duo, visit them online at facebook.com/avianallure. As always, thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, visit us online at slugmag.com. We're going to have our local beer guru, Mike Riedel, back in the studio soon. We'd like to hear about the news and brews that you've been enjoying this summer, all from the local beer scene. Send us an email at soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter at Slug Soundwaves, or on Facebook via facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestions or your favorite beer on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Genevieve Smith, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll have the folks from Bonneville Brewing on the show, as well as Mike Riedel talking about all the great local beer news. Thanks for listening.